here tonight. Thank you for your attendance, and you may be seated. Thank Brother Lindsay again. Glad he's in town with us. We're going to have him back when he is able to speak and speak for us. It's going to be a good time. Between the years 1854, are you going back there, Jamie, or are you going up here? Well, I've heard me before, too. Bring the youth back in. Come here, Brent. You can speak up here. I'm just playing. Between the years 1854 and 1929, about 200,000 orphans, 200,000 plus orphans and abandoned children in eastern cities were placed on westbound trains and shipped across the United States in search of homes and families. Many of the children had lost their parents to epidemics and sickness. Others were children of down on their luck immigrants who were too poor to take care of their children. Some were orphaned by the Civil War, and it was called the orphan train. They all needed homes. They were loaded on the trains in groups of 30 to 40 at a time. They stopped in several rural areas and for viewings, they called it. And the children were lined up on the platform across the deck, lined up. And as they were lined up like livestock at an auction, the potential parents began to ask questions and poke and prod and evaluate the health and examine their teeth and look them over. If selected, the children would go home with them. If not, they got back on the train to go to the next community to see if they mattered to anybody. Did they matter to anybody? Were they important to anyone? I want to talk just for a little while. Do I matter? Do I really matter? Do I really matter? Lee Nailings remembers the experience. He had been living in Jefferson County, and he was an orphan home for about 2 years when he was put on a train. He was 8 years old. He was taken with his two younger brothers and to a train station in New York City the day before. His biological father had handed him a little envelope that bore his name and address and told the boy to write him as soon as he got to where he was going, his destination. The boy placed the envelope in his inside pocket and of his coat so it would be protected and nobody would steal it from him. And the train embarked for Texas. Lee and his brothers, they fell asleep on this journey. And when he awoke, the pink envelope was gone. He never saw it again. What I would love to stand before you tonight and say is that Lee's father found him, that the man unwilling to pass another moment of his life and his sons, he sold every possession he had and went in search of his three boys. But that's not what happened. I'd love to describe the moment of Lee hearing his father say, "Son, it's me. I came for you. Son, I'm over here. I'm right here." However, Lee Nailing's biography contains no such event. But our spiritual story is different. Sin separated us from God, but our story is much different from Lee Nailing's biography. In fact, we have a father looking for us in spite of us. We may fail. a Father looking for us in spite of us. We may fail. Run. We may fall, but our story is still being written. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and verse, let's go to verse 1 and verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Adopted. We've been adopted. Adopted, that means I was chosen. You were chosen, sir. Ma'am, you have been chosen by Almighty God. Even when life is chaotic and spiraling out of control, you've been chosen. Maybe you're here tonight and you have this big question lurking with the hurts that you carry from wounds that have come through the years, the hang-ups that you have, the habits that you can't quite shake. You try and you try, but you fall again, and you want to know, do I really matter, God? God, do I matter to anybody? Jacob felt the same way. He had that question. He wrestled with it his entire life. Do I really matter to God? Jacob lied to his father. He cheated his brother out of his birthright blessing. God, do I matter? He was the one that spent his life living where he didn't belong until one day he decided to go home. He wasn't even sure if it was safe to go home, but he was tired of living this way. He did things his way to get where he was, but you know, he just decided, I've got to go home. And everything I've tried just hasn't been good enough because it's not home. Home. The question possibly burning in his mind since a very young age, do I really matter? I'm the second. I'm not important. I'm a nobody. Do I matter? My father loves my brother more than me. Do I matter? Do I really matter? He wasn't sure of himself. In Genesis chapter 32, we find the story unfolding. He's headed back home with the question in his mind, God, do I really matter? God, do I have anything of value? Am I important to anybody? God, does my words or action mean anything to anyone? Now he's sitting there, a Jabbok, wondering, do I matter? It's at Jabbok, this river, that he would send his family across, but personally refused to cross until he found out if he really mattered. There are going to be times in your life when you stop everything else and just say, no, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I've got to figure some things out. I've got to know, do I really matter? Am I worth anything, God, to anybody? God, is there something more for me? While he's there, out of nowhere, a man steps out, and I imagine out of fear, Jacob grabs a hold of it and he holds on, and thinking it might be someone trying to take his life, but there's something different about this man. He can feel it. There's just something different. He grabs him and he holds on with all he's worth because there's something familiar about this man. This is no ordinary wrestling match. There's something very, very different about this match. The man begins to struggle to get free from Jacob. And in the struggle, he touches him and hits him in the thigh. And Jacob goes down, but he doesn't let go. He holds on for life because there's something different. He's holding on in the darkness, waiting for the light. You and I have been there in the darkness. Just think about it. You feel the sweeping hand of God reach out and touch and comfort you. You feel hope and you feel peace and you feel just a release of energy and joy. And then all of a sudden your past rears its head and you begin to feel unworthy. It's in the darkness that He comes through for us. It's in the times of weakness and struggle and confusion and hurt and disappointment and anger and fear that God will show up on your behalf. And you can wrap your arms around Him because He's there to wrap His arms around you and to love you and to protect you and to guide you. In the middle of the match, he finally realized God has showed up in the dark of night. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still here. I'm still something. On his way back home, God shows up on his behalf. In the middling of the wrestling match, God reminds him that he really matters. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I've got a hold of something now I've been searching for. I'm not letting go now until you bless me. God changes his name. He's no longer Jacob, but Israel. God chooses to make him brand new. Revelations 21 and verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Doesn't matter how chaotic, hear me tonight. It doesn't matter the sin. It doesn't matter the hurt that you carry inside of your heart and your mind, the memories. It doesn't matter the hang-ups you have. He makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away. Jesus Christ makes all things new. So what you failed? So what you've fallen? So what you've had disappointments? Get up and let God make you new all over again. Get up and lift your hands to God and say, God, I'm not letting go of your glory until you bless me. God, I'm not letting go of your word until you bless me. God, I'm not letting go of your promises until you bless me. God, I'm not letting go of my family. I'm not letting go of anything, God, until you bless me. And watch God show up and pour His Spirit out upon you. There is giftings and anointings in this church that we haven't even tapped into. There is potential here for greatness like you wouldn't believe. And people will come and people will go. But it's about getting plugged in to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about dusting yourself off from the hurt and the pain and the disappointment and the letdowns. And whether it's family or foe or friend, it doesn't matter. You've got to let it go and you've got to let God make you all over again, brand new. In the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, it starts out with Jesus drawing near to the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. They're upset. They're frustrated. God, why would you even be seen with those people? God, why would you even communicate with those people? Jesus, who are you? What are you doing? Why are you eating with them? Why are you hanging out with them? They're just old, no good people. That's what I am. That's what you are. That precious blood that was shed for you and I at Calvary's cross has a power to bring hearts and lives together like never before. It has the power to bring sinners and hurt back home where they belong. Do I really matter, God? Maybe I'm preaching just to myself tonight, but you know, it's not always a mountaintop. There's struggles. There's frustrations. Do I matter? Ask several Bible characters. The woman at the well, she thought, I'll never matter to anybody. I've messed up so much. I've failed. I'm no good. But Jesus Christ gave her a revelation and He changed her life. asked blind Bart, do I really matter? I can't see. But Jesus shows up and all he has to do is cry out to him. And he's healed. The woman caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus tells her, go and sin no more. His grace, hear me tonight, His grace is sufficient. His grace is big enough. His grace is more than enough to cover and bless and heal and pick up the broken pieces of your life and begin to put them back together how they're supposed to be. Life is about season. Life is about timing. Life is about taking another step. Life is not perfect. Life is not simple. Especially when the devil is trying to tell you you don't matter. He's trying to tell you that you are insignificant. You're a nobody. The prodigal son, we'll just call him Johnny for tonight. Not Johnny Areno. We can call him Luke. How about that? Let's call him Luke. When nobody's shooting at me. He remembers in the middle of that pig pen, the servants in my father's house have it better than I do. I've messed up. The people that I thought were my friends and had my back, they don't care for me. They've used me for everything I'm worth. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you feel like maybe you've been used for everything you're worth. Can I tell you, you are somebody. You are important to God. You do matter. Greg Miller, you matter to God. You're important to the kingdom of God. You're important to Faith Temple. Etta, you're important. That little girl looks up to you and loves you. The smile and the joy on her face when she comes in. Thank you for investing in that little girl. You're important. Do I really matter, God? Yes. Yes. Can I tell you the secret? When nobody else is telling you, yes, you really matter, sometimes you got to tell yourself, you know what? Yes, I matter to God. Yes, I matter to my family. Yes, I matter to my children. Yes, I matter to this church. Yes, I matter to this community. Do we get it all right? No. Am I perfect? No. But I matter. I'm important to the kingdom of God for this generation. As you stand to your feet all over the building, no matter what you've been facing, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what your last name is, what your bank account says, who you're related to, no matter what anybody has ever told you or said to you, positive or negative, I'm here to tell you tonight, you matter to the King of Glory. You matter to the God of all creation. You matter to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. You're not just somebody, you're more than a conqueror. You are victorious through and with Christ Jesus. Get in that right relationship with Him. Get in that right communication. Relationship is about communication. If you don't communicate, the relationship goes out the window. You've got to communicate. God,